Ever feel like you're drowning in a sea of tech tools? Like you need a life raft just to stay afloat?
Haha, I know that feeling. The tech world moves fast. It's easy to get overwhelmed.
Exactly. So today we're throwing you a lifeline, a deep dive into the essential tools for computer systems analysts.
And it's not just about knowing what's out there, but really understanding how these tools can, you know, boost your skills and help you tackle those real-world challenges you face every day as a systems analyst.
Absolutely. We're dissecting this recent article, 8 Must-Have Tools for Computer Systems Analysts. And trust me, you'll want to take notes.
Think of it this way. You wouldn't show up to, like, a construction site with just a hammer, right?
Definitely not. You need the right tools for the job.
And in the world of systems analysis, having that fully stocked toolbox, well, that's your key to efficiency and effectiveness.
Okay, that analogy really landed for me. This article makes a really interesting point about problem solving. They argue that having the right tools, well, it's not just about speed, but about approaching challenges in a smarter way. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Think about a really complex network issue, right? Having those right diagnostic tools can be like, it's almost like having X-ray vision into the system. You're not just, you know, randomly swapping out parts.
Right. Hoping for the best.
Exactly. You're pinpointing the root cause and then boom, targeted solution.
That's huge, especially when, you know, time is of the essence. You've got everyone breathing down your neck for a fix. It's the difference between searching blindly for a lost file and, like, using a search tool that just pulls it up instantly.
Speaking of files, this article dives into data backup and recovery tools. And it's not just about that, you know, that feeling when you lose a document. This is about protecting entire systems.
From complete meltdown.
Catastrophic data loss.
Ooh, gives me shivers just thinking about it.
Right. Having the right tools to back up that data and then ensure it's recoverable, well, that's non-negotiable these days.
Absolutely essential. So moving from disaster prevention to, well, creative power, let's talk programming languages. The article highlights Java and Python.
Two heavy hitters for sure.
Classics. So what makes them stand out for systems analysts? Let's start with Java. It feels like it's everywhere.
It's true. Java's strength is in its platform independence. Basically, you can write code once and run it on almost any operating system.
Wow. That's a game changer. No more compatibility headaches. It's like having a universal key.
Right. Now, Python, you're right. You're hearing about it more and more, and for good reason. It's so versatile. And those libraries, you can use it for everything from automating tasks to beta analysis to even, like, machine learning.
So Python's like that friend who's always up for anything. Game night, building a website, they've got you covered. This article also mentions C++ and C#. How do those fit in?
So C++, it's known for its performance, its raw power. Think resource-intensive applications.
Like video games.
Exactly. Or operating systems, even. The real heavy lifting.
Wow. So if Java's the universal key and Python's the versatile friend, then C++ is the powerhouse, like the engine.
A perfect way to put it. C# is often linked with Microsoft's .NET framework. So naturally, it's a popular choice for building those Windows applications. Shares some similarities with CSOS, but many find it a bit easier to pick up, especially if you're just starting out.
Interesting. So each language has its own specialty. I'm sensing a right tool for the job theme here.
Absolutely. You wouldn't use a screwdriver when you need a hammer. Speaking of which, that brings us to network monitoring tools.
Okay, so we talked about diagnostic tools earlier, but network monitoring, that's more about ongoing observation, right? Making sure everything's flowing smoothly.
I like to think of it like security cameras, you know, or motion sensors. Always watching, constantly vigilant, and they'll alert you to anything out of the ordinary, ideally before it becomes a major issue.
That's a great way to put it. So it's about prevention as much as it is about reaction.
Exactly. And within this category, the article dives into a few specifics. So we've got network performance monitoring, NPM tools to start.
Okay, so NPM tools, those are like the traffic reporters of our networks.
Yes. They monitor bandwidth usage, any latency issues, all those factors that might slow things down. They make sure data is flowing smoothly, help you avoid those digital traffic jams.
That's pretty slick. What about network traffic analysis, NTA tools? Those are a bit different, right?
You got it. NPM is about performance. NTA, this is all about security. Analyzing traffic patterns, looking for anything unusual that might, you know, hint at a cyber attack.
Ooh, that's a little unnerving, but important. So like digital detectives looking for clues.
Exactly. Looking for those digital fingerprints that could lead back to a malicious actor. And then you have those event log monitors.
Okay, so those are like the silent guardians, right? Working behind the scenes.
Exactly. They collect and analyze all those logs from different devices, looking for, you know, patterns or events that might spell trouble.
It's like having those watchtowers strategically placed around your network.
Okay, so we've got our speed cameras, we've got our detectives, we've got our watchtowers. These analogies are really painting a picture.
I love it. It's clear you're thinking like a systems analyst already. And speaking of thinking like a systems analyst, let's talk security, encryption software.
Yes, this is a big one. With cyber attacks becoming, well, more common and a lot more sophisticated, having a robust security setup isn't optional anymore.
It's mission critical, for sure. It's like, you know, having a security system for your home. You wouldn't leave your front door unlocked. No way. So what are the must-haves for that cybersecurity toolkit? This article starts with antivirus software.
Antivirus software. That's your first line of defense. Like, picture it as a guard dog right there at the gate, sniffing out those threats before they can even set foot on your system.
Okay, so it's like that extra layer of protection, making sure nothing harmful slips through. But a good security system needs more than just a guard dog.
You got it. You need those firewalls. Think of a firewall as the gate itself. It's controlling what goes in and out of your network, that barrier between your safe, trusted internal network and, well, the Wild West of the internet.
Keeping those cyber criminals at bay. So we've got our guard dog, we've got our gate. What about encryption tools? Where do those fit into this security fortress we're building?
Encryption is like, imagine putting all your sensitive data in a lockbox. Only people with the key, the authorized users, they could open it. Scrambles the data, making it totally unreadable to anyone who doesn't have that decryption key.
It's like, even if someone gets past the guard dog and the gate, they still can't get to the good stuff. Everything's locked up tight.
Exactly. And speaking of locking things up, the article rounds out the security toolkit with password managers.
Ah, password managers. I've been guilty of using the same password for multiple accounts. Not my best habit, I know.
We've all been there. But it is a big no-no. Think about it. It's like using the same key for your house, your car, your office. All it takes is one key to be compromised.
Right. Then everything's vulnerable.
Exactly. Password managers, they help you create those strong, unique passwords, different for every single account. And the best part, it stores them all securely, so you don't have to, like, juggle a million different combinations in your head.
Lifesaver. Okay, we've covered a lot here in terms of essential tools, but I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, choosing the right tool for the job.
Couldn't agree more. Just like a carpenter wouldn't grab a saw, a hammer, and a nail, a systems analyst, they need to pick the right tool for the task at hand.
Work smarter, not harder, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's about using the right combination of tools. This article does a great job of highlighting how different tools can work together, you know, synergistically. For example, remember those programming languages we talked about earlier?
Java, Python, C++, C#. Yeah, we covered quite a few.
So those languages are often used hand in hand with database management systems, or DBMS.
DBMS, right. Those are those massive data warehouses, right? Storing and managing all that information.
Exactly. And just like any well-organized warehouse, you need a system for managing all that stuff. That's where DBMS comes in. The article mentions MySQL, Oracle Database, Microsoft SQL Server, just to name a few.
And each system has its own, like, quirks and strengths and all that.
For sure. MySQL, for instance, it's known for being open source and, you know, user-friendly. It's a popular choice for web applications. Oracle Database, on the other hand, that's more of a heavy hitter, an enterprise-level solution designed for handling those truly massive amounts of data.
So it's about knowing the needs of your project, of the organization, and picking the DBMS that fits those needs.
Absolutely. And it really highlights how important it is to have that, like, broad understanding of the tech landscape, even if you specialize in a certain area.
Like having a mental map of how everything connects that whole tech ecosystem. What other essential stops do we have left on this deep dive?
So we talked about tools for building and managing systems, but what about the tools for understanding how those systems are actually performing? That's where data analysis and visualization come into play.
Data analysis, it's more than just crunching numbers, right? It's like finding those hidden stories within the data.
Exactly. And just like with other tool categories, there's a whole bunch of data analysis tools out there, each with its own strengths and use cases. The article starts things off with a classic, Microsoft Excel.
Excel. That's like the old reliable in the toolbox. Always there for you.
That's a great way to put it. But you're right. The world of data analysis has definitely evolved since the days of just spreadsheets.
So what else is on that data analysis A-list these days?
Well, the article highlights Tableau. really powerful tool for building those interactive dashboards and visualization.
I've heard good things about Tableau.
It's got this like really user-friendly drag and drop interface. So even if you're not super technical, you can still dig into the data, make those cool visualizations.
And sometimes a picture really is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to explain those insights to someone who's maybe not as data savvy.
100%. Visualizations just make everything click, you know?
Totally. Okay, so we've got Excel for those quick analyses, Tableau for the fancy visuals. What else is essential for a systems analyst who wants to be data-driven?
Well, the article can't talk about data analysis without mentioning SQL or structured query language.
SQL, right, the language for communicating with databases, like having a direct line, right?
Exactly. SQL is key for working with relational databases, lets you pull out specific information, run those complex queries, manipulate data, really precise. It's like you said, a direct line to the brain of your database. Ask a question, get an answer.
It sounds so powerful.
It is. And it's not just for systems analysts anymore. SQL is becoming more and more important for like a ton of different tech roles.
It's like the universal language of data. Okay, so we've got our Excel, our Tableau, our SQL. Anything else we should add to this data analysis toolkit?
Well, we can't forget about Python.
Python. Our versatile friend is back. What can it do?
Right. Python is absolutely blown up in the data science world. It's those libraries, the intuitive syntax, the amazing community.
It's like the cool kid everyone wants to hang out with.
And for good reason. What are some of the key libraries that make it so powerful for data analysis? Two big ones are Pandas and NumPy. Pandas gives you those high-performance, easy-to-use data structures and tools. And NumPy, that one excels at working with, well, numbers. All those mathematical functions and operations.
A real power couple for data analysis.
Absolutely. And if you need even more statistical firepower, the article also mentions R.
R, okay, that one rings a bell, but I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
So R is specifically designed for statistical computing and making those graphics. It's super popular with statisticians, data scientists, anyone doing research. Those statistical functions, those graphics, the packages for like really specialized analysis, it's impressive.
So it's like having this massive library of statistical tools at your fingertips. Incredible.
It really is. And it just goes to show there's no one size fits all in the data analysis world. The right tool often comes down to the task, the data you're working with, and what you're trying to get out of it.
It's all about having that well-stocked toolbox, knowing which tool to grab. And this article, it's like our guide. Now, it looks like we're not done yet. What else do we need to know as we wrap up our deep dive into computer systems analysis tools?
You know, we've talked about managing data, but what about managing those projects themselves?
Project management. That's key for any tech role, especially for systems analysts, right? They've always got multiple projects going at once.
Exactly. And this article, it gets into which project management tools are especially good for the demands of being a systems analyst.
So we're not just talking to-do lists and deadlines here.
Right. It's got to be able to handle those technical complexities, all those dependencies that come with IT projects.
It's like next level project management.
Totally. This article specifically mentions Trello, Asana, Monday.com. They're popular choices, great for team collaboration, keeping track of progress, managing all those tasks, just overall organization.
You're like that digital command center for all your projects, making sure everyone's on the same page, nothing gets forgotten.
Exactly. And if you're a visual learner, you'll appreciate that the article also mentions Gantt charts.
Oh yeah, Gantt charts. Those are those like bar charts, right? Showing the timeline of a project, all the tasks.
You got it. They're awesome for visualizing the schedule, any dependencies, milestones. It's like a roadmap for your project, showing those critical paths. Make sure everyone knows the schedule and the deliverables.
I like that, a roadmap. Okay, so we've got our digital command center, our roadmap,
but
no project management toolkit is complete without collaboration tools, right?
Especially these days. Remote work, teams spread out all over the place. You've got to have those tools to stay connected.
Absolutely.
Real-time communication, easy file sharing, task management, all that's crucial for keeping those teams productive. Tools like Slack, Microsoft Teams, they've become like essential.
It's like having a virtual office. You can connect with your team instantly no matter where you are. Pretty amazing.
It really is. And speaking of tech that's changing how we work, this article also brings up time tracking software.
Time tracking. Not always the most fun, but essential, right?
Yeah.
Especially for billing clients if you're a consultant.
Totally. It's all about knowing where your time is going. Helps you get better, work smarter, and make sure you're getting paid fairly for the work you do.
It's like holding up a mirror to your workday, seeing those patterns.
Exactly. And some of these tools even go a step further, helping you analyze your productivity, identifying those time wasters.
Okay, so that's working smarter, not harder. We've covered project management tools for systems, analysts. What's next?
We talked a little about virtualization earlier, but let's dive deeper into the software side of things.
Virtualization. That's like creating those like virtual sandboxes, right? Where you can test things out without messing up your actual system.
Exactly. And as you get more comfortable with virtualization, it's important to explore the different software options, see what's out there, what works best for you.
So what's on the menu?
This article points out VMware vSphere and Microsoft Hyper-V. They're the big players, the popular choices, especially at the enterprise level. Lots of features, robust, can handle those complex setups.
Sounds like the heavy hitters. Anything else worth looking at?
There's also KVM, which stands for Kernel-Based Virtual Machine. KVM is open source, so it's free, which is awesome if you're on a budget.
Open source is amazing, but is it as powerful as something like VMware or Hyper-V, those commercial options?
That's a good question. KVM might not have all the bells and whistles of those bigger commercial options, but it's known for being solid. Stable, secure, good performance. It's used by businesses of all sizes, even some big tech companies.
So you get that mix of power and affordability. I like it. So VMware, Hyper-V for the bigger players, KVM for a more budget-friendly option.
Exactly. And it goes back to what we've been talking about. There's no one right answer in tech. It's about finding what fits your needs, your skills, and yeah, your budget.
What works for you? Okay, so we've explored virtualization software. What's next on our agenda?
Let's talk about what happens when things go wrong. Time to explore debugging and troubleshooting tools.
Ah, yes. The tools we need when those inevitable tech gremlins strike.
It's bound to happen. And being able to find and fix those issues quickly and effectively, that's critical for any systems analyst.
So what do we need in our toolkit to fight off those gremlins?
Well, this article starts with a tool you might already know, at least if you've used Windows, Event Viewer.
Event Viewer. Okay, I've seen it, but I haven't really spent much time with it. What makes it so great for troubleshooting?
Think of Event Viewer like your computer's diary. It keeps track of everything happening, all the events and errors, and that can be super helpful for diagnosing and fixing problems.
So it's like having a black box for your computer.
Exactly. Instead of, you know, wandering around in the dark, you can use Event Viewer to retrace your steps and find the culprit.
I like it. What other tools are in our detective kit?
Debuggers. Essential for anyone who writes code or has to troubleshoot it. They let you walk through the code line by line, see what's happening, and hopefully find where things are going wrong.
It's like having X-ray vision, but for code.
Exactly. The article specifically mentions Visual Studio Debugger, GDB, and Xcode.
And each one is for a specific language or environment, right?
Right. Visual Studio Debugger is popular for folks working with Microsoft stuff, while GDB is more of a general-purpose debugger, works with a bunch of languages.
Makes sense. So match the debugger to the language. Got it. What else can we use to keep those systems happy and healthy?
Performance Monitor is another one. It's built into Windows. Think of it like a dashboard for your computer's vital signs.
So you can see how much CPU is being used, how much memory, what the disk is doing.
All of that. And having that real-time view into your system's performance, it's super valuable. Helps you spot those bottlenecks, optimize things, just make sure everything's humming along nicely.
Okay, so we've got Event Viewer for those deep dives into our computer's diary, debuggers for our X-ray vision, and Performance Monitor for keeping an eye on those vital signs. What else can we use to keep those tech gremlins at bay?
Network analyzers. Those are key for figuring out network problems. They capture and analyze all that traffic, give you those in-depth insights into what's going on.
It's like the microscopic level of your network.
Right. One popular one is Wireshark. It's open source, and it's known for having tons of features. It can capture and analyze so many network protocols.
Sounds like an essential tool. Okay, so we've done debugging, troubleshooting, performance monitoring. Anything else?
We've talked about the importance of data analysis, but this article goes beyond just, like, mentioning tools. It actually digs into the specific data analysis and visualization tools that systems analysts use the most.
Oh, now that's interesting. I'm always up for learning about new tools, especially ones that can help me make sense of data and explain it to others.
Well, this article starts with an old friend, Microsoft Excel. Even though it's been around forever, it's still a super powerful and versatile tool. You can do so much with it.
Excel, it's like the Swiss Army knife of data analysis. But the data world has gotten a lot more complex than just spreadsheets, hasn't it?
It has. While Excel is great for those, like, basic analyses and visualizations, sometimes you need something a bit more heavy-duty, especially with the sheer amount of data we're dealing with these days.
So what else is out there?
The article calls out Tableau. It's amazing for building those interactive dashboards and visualizations.
Tableau. I've heard good things. What makes it so special?
One of the best things about it is how easy it is to use. You've got that drag-and-drop interface. You can pull data from all over the place. It's really intuitive.
It's like having a digital art studio, but for data. You can turn those boring numbers into something that tells a story.
Exactly. And being able to communicate those insights in a way that's engaging and persuasive, that's so crucial these days.
I bet those data visualization skills are in high demand.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so what else should we have on our list for leveling up our data analysis game?
Tell me more.
We've got to talk about SQL again. Structured query language.
Right. SQL.
Yeah.
The language of databases.
It's crucial for anyone working with relational databases.
Yeah.
You can pull out specific info, run those super specific queries, and just really get granular with how you work with data.
It sounds incredibly powerful.
It is. And it's everywhere. More and more companies are relying on data to make decisions, which means SQL skills are in higher demand.
It's like the must-know language of the data world. Okay, so quick recap. We've got Excel for the basics, Tableau for the stunning visuals, SQL for talking to databases. What else?
Let's not forget about our versatile friend, Python.
Python, of course. Back for more.
Python has become so popular for data science. The libraries, the way it's written, the community. It's just a really great language to know, whether you're just starting out or you're a total pro.
What are some of the key libraries that make it so good for data analysis?
Two of the most popular are Pandas and NumPy. Pandas is all about providing those easy-to-use tools for data structures and analysis. And NumPy, that one's great for crunching numbers. It can handle those more mathematical tasks.
They sound like a great team. Any other tools on your data analysis list?
One more. The article also mentions R. It's a programming language, and it's free, which is always nice. It's really widely used by statisticians and anyone who's doing data mining. They use it to develop software and for data analysis.
R. Okay, I feel like I've heard of that, but refresh my memory. What makes R stand out?
It's got this huge collection of packages, and these packages are specifically designed for statistical computing and graphics. So if you're doing data visualization, statistical modeling, machine learning, R is a really powerful tool to have in your arsenal.
It's like having a treasure chest of statistical tools. Amazing. There are so many tools out there. It's kind of mind-boggling.
There are. And the right tool often depends on what you're doing, how much data you have, and what you're trying to learn from it.
So many factors. Okay, this article has been amazing. So much great information about all these different tools. But it looks like we're not quite done yet. What else do we need to know to round out our deep dive into the world of computer systems analysis tools?
We've talked about a lot of individual tools. But this article, it doesn't just give you a list and call it a day. It actually gives you some guidance on, like, how to approach learning these tools, how to actually master them.
Okay, that's super helpful. It can be overwhelming knowing where to start. The tech world is so vast and it's always changing. What kind of insights does the article offer about, you know, building those skills and keeping up with everything? It really does feel like that sometimes, drinking from a fire hose.
Totally. You get so excited about all the new stuff. But this article, it's really smart. It emphasizes that, like, true mastery, it comes from the fundamentals.
Okay, so it's not about having the shiniest tools. It's about knowing how to actually use them.
Exactly. It's like, you know, learning an instrument. You wouldn't expect to play like a concerto just because you know where the keys are. Right?
Definitely not. It takes practice, dedication.
You got it. You need that solid foundation.
Yeah.
So if we're thinking of these tech tools as our instruments, what are the, like, the fundamental skills that make a Maestro Systems analyst?
I love that analogy. So what are those core skills?
This article really emphasizes problem solving. That's really what it boils down to, right? Systems analysts, they're solving these complex problems. They use analytical thinking, some creativity, and of course their tools.
So it's bigger than just memorizing things. It's that ability to, like, really dissect a problem, analyze it, come up with a solution.
You got it. And that problem solving, it's a muscle. You build it up over time. This article, they're big on seeing those tough challenges as opportunities to learn.
I like that. Don't shy away from those moments. Use them to grow. What other advice does the article offer for, you know, really thriving in the world of systems analysis?
Communication. You can have all the tech skills in the world, but if you can't explain what you're doing, it's not going to get you very far.
Because you're often the bridge, right, between the tech and the business side of things.
Exactly. You might need to, like, break down a super complicated tech issue for someone who doesn't live in that world. Or you're writing documentation, presenting to executives.
It was like a superpower, being able to bridge that gap.
Love that. Making tech make sense for everyone.
Okay, so we've got problem solving, communication, those are core. What about the really technical stuff? Where do you even begin with that?
This article recommends starting with the basics. Operating systems, programming languages, networking, those are the building blocks. If you understand how they work, it sets you up for success.
It's like having that mental map again, right? Even if you haven't been everywhere, you know how to get around.
Exactly. And then as you go, you can start to specialize. Maybe it's cloud computing, maybe cybersecurity, data science. There's so much out there.
It's exciting, but it can also feel a little overwhelming. What advice would you give to someone who's like feeling a little lost?
I'd say follow your curiosity. Try things out. Explore new tech. Get out of your comfort zone. That's how you figure out what you really love.
That's great advice. It's not just about like checking boxes on a resume. It's about finding what lights you up, what you're passionate about.
100%. And remember, learning, it never stops in tech. It's always changing. So stay curious. Keep exploring.
So good. Okay, listeners, if you're ready to dive into the world of computer systems analysis, here's what we've learned. Those problem solving and communication skills, absolutely key. Get comfortable with those core tech concepts, and most importantly, follow what you're curious about.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you know, do it all at once. Small steps, set those goals, celebrate those wins.
This has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for, you know, walking us through all of this.
My pleasure. Always happy to nerd out about tech.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned some new things, got those brains working. Until next time, keep that curiosity alive and keep exploring.